WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore positive. We are positively into All-Star Game week around here. You know, this used to be a time where, like, I went to every All-Star game for about 20 years, and I probably share some of that as part of our 25th anniversary coming forward. But it is the 30th anniversary of me bumping into Geddy Lee at the Maryland Science Center at the All-Star Gala. Still have his autograph on the back of my my ticket from the gala that night, the reception I attended with David Hill from then Outside Pitch. But we are going to be celebrating 25 years later on this month. I'm wearing my Drug City shirt basically to torture Mike Rosenfeld, because I don't think he's ever been to Drug City in Dundalk, Maryland, 1954. They were established in 54. Maybe I should make a WNST shirt like this and give it away on August 3rd and 4th at Costas in Drug City when we celebrate, that says 1998, because that's kind of when this whole thing happened here at WNSD. Mike Rosenfeld joins us now. He's our chief digital officer. He'll be there when I'm giving away Maryland lottery tickets. I've got my I got tickets. I've got my crab mallet for Costas on the 3rd with Raskin Global, including I can open my own bottles of beer, which I think Karen will appreciate down there as well. And our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. My wife washed the floppy hat after the last show at Fadley, so it's kind of straight up, almost like your Miller light floppy hat that you got last Friday night. Roosevelt, how are you, man? A happy summer to you, man. What's going on?
I'm digging summer. That's a good looking floppy hat.
Isn't it a hell of a hat?
Like a foot over your head because you got your headphones on.
Yeah.
Those who are listening to this probably should do themselves a favor and pull up the videos.
Well, I watch the videos from Fadley's. I wear it sometimes and it looks silly, but it's fun. And I love Window Nation, and they support what we do and help us feed our families. And, you know, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. My summer's great. I see you're holding a crab mallet. Had crabs over the 4th of July. A beautiful thing outside on our deck. It's just felt like a Baltimore. It actually was on the 4th of July. And then the sun came.
It cost more that day.
Yeah. I know. And then my we were eating until the sun came down, and then the local neighborhood fireworks experts were launching fireworks that we could see right on our deck. So it was pretty nice evening.
Thinking of cutting my my hair at some point, and then I see Dean Kramer go out and throw 7 innings. And like, when I put my hair back now, I try to put it back the way Dean Kramer does. So, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to like get into the spirit of things here this summer. But, you know, the summer's been great. You mentioned 4th of July. I have a great piece running right now. You can find that at Baltimore Positive. We were Fadley's. We were giving away instant lottery scratch offs to everybody that came by Lexington Market. It was good stuff. And so Bill Cole came by with Damian Hahn, and they had never met. So these are sponsors of mine that had never met, right? And I told them that I'm trying to put together a night, and you need to hold this night too. December 8th is the night that Dan Rodericks is doing his Baltimore event again, his play. And I want to take all of my friends and sponsors out to this. So I got them together, and they had never met. And Bill had never been to Fadley's. And then the next thing you know, Marty Gary comes in, and we did 51 minutes about how the giant invasive rockfish are eating all the baby crabs at the bottom of the Chesapeake because some hillbillies in Virginia brought them in here 50 years ago and didn't think they were coming up the creek. I mean, it's like something out of Jurassic Park. If you see these fish, they're 100-pound catfish. It's not good. And my buddy, who's a fisherman, Sammy Tudor, who's going to be a guest on the show. I'm getting him out to the Crab Cake Tour. Sam and I were Boy Scouts together, played Little League together. He's from Colgate. Our parents were friends. Like, we've known each other forever. He's a little worried because I didn't vote for Trump, but that's just my cheap shot at him. But we're going to get together. He's catching these giant catfish for the first time. He's been on the water for 50 years. Fishermen have never seen them, and they're boating 3,000 pounds a day of these catfish.
I saw this. I didn't know it was a thing. It's horrible.
Wes Moore's in on, like, everybody's trying to, like, and we think the scientists think that we're never going to get them out.
I saw a special on how people are going on boats and bow hunting them with bow guns, you know, and shooting them. And it's just like, and they're trying to get Maryland restaurants to start
featuring catfish.
Them.
Yeah. I got to talk to our friends of Restaurant Association of Maryland. We got to get on this.
Yeah. It's a problem.
Well, so we did a long thing about it, but this is like when I'm sitting in Fadley's Market with Bill Cole and Damian Hahn, who's both of their families have been here over 100 years. They've never met. And Bill, for whatever reason, hadn't been in there, and he felt awful about having not been there. And I'm like, well, you're here now. That's all that matters. You know what I mean? We're building one next door. That's what Baltimore Positive's about, is bringing people who don't know each other together in some way and saying, I've never been to Dundalk because I'm from Woodlawn. I've never been to Pikesville because I'm from Essex. I've never been to Bel Air because I'm from Columbia. Like there's just a lot of that that does go on here, where we get into our patterns of doing the same things. But the one thing we have in common, and I guess I knew this, was crab cakes and crabs. And really the Orioles. You know, when I talk to a lot of people our age, I mean, you're from the other side of town. We were at Memorial Stadium at the same time, doing the same thing in the same way, batting like Eddie or like Al Bunbury, or cleaning rocks out of the batter's box like Ken Singleton. And now I'm just wearing my hair like Dean Kramer. Can you see it? You like it?
I do.
Okay. So I guess what I'm saying is crabs and the Chesapeake, there's no other place you gather on the 4th of July and talk about doing this thing that's so indigenous to us, and so indigenous that Leonard Raskin has figured out a crab mallet that's patented with a beer bottle opener on the side. And I know you need this next 4th of July.
That's brilliant. Brilliant.
Ingenuity, it happens here.
Let me tell you something, not that you need any creative ideas, that's what you do for a living. But as I've gotten to know you and work with you, yeah, we have the sports in common. Yeah, we have the music in common. But the other thing that, as you continue to evolve Baltimore Positive, that I think that you have a handle on more than I do is just like local spots, local joints, local place to grow, have,
And
your,
local people.
yeah, your peach cake and your pizza and your, and oh, there's this little spot down here. And I think if you, whether it's personally between the two of us or on the air, if you bring a little bit more of that, I think there's a lot of people who'd appreciate and you're right. There's people who live in their cocoons. They live in their little towns, their little
Well, I talked to
villages.
Chris Pike about this at Spirits West, where it's like he had never really been through the tunnels because he lived on the west side of town. And like, why would he need the tunnel? And it's like, I dated a girl who was from Pikesville who'd only been through the tunnel two or three times. And every time she would come and visit me on the east side of town and we go through the tunnel, it was like a thrill for her. Like,
Right.
literally. And I'm like, it wasn't a thrill for me going through the Harbor Tunnel when I was a kid. It was the only tunnel before 81, 82. And then I had Barbara Mikulski on explaining how the tunnel got built. The thing we know is the Fort McHenry Tunnel, which I remember the first time I went through there to go to a Clippers game at that time. It wasn't even a Skipjacks. It was a Clippers with Petey Elliott, who'd just gotten his driver's license, who never should have had his driver's license. And we went through the tunnel and the orange lights, and it was white. It was like Heaven's Gate, man. Like when you went through the new tunnel and the old tunnel, which was all dingy and claustrophobic and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, those are Baltimore experiences. Some people have never had a Fabley's crab cake. Some people have never been to Drug City, Mike.
Yeah, I didn't know of Drug City until you put the shirt on today.
Well, listen, this is why the 25th anniversary is going to be significant. We're going to be giving these away from the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be eating crabs, wearing the fun Window Nation hat, having friends like you out, hopefully. I hope that August 3rd and 4th, if you're not on vacation, and this is for the listenership, for everybody out there, we're going to be at Costas on the 3rd most of the day. I'm trying to figure out 12 to 5, something like that, where we can have a table and folks can stop by, bring old Get Nasty stuff, get a free book. I'm going to have a whole bunch of stuff to give away that I just want to like give to people who really want it. We're gonna have great crab cakes there. This is such a Baltimore Positive thing. I want to tell you this story because the other day, I'm a peach cake guy. You know this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to
I've
give a
never had
plug.
peach cake, just for the record.
I ate my last piece this morning on the air with Dennis. I'm sorry. I really did. I tortured him. I held it up. I'll get you peach cake. It's just one thing to talking about peach cake in December or January or February, or you can't have it. Okay. It's like talking about eggnog right now. Where am I getting it, Mike? Seriously, where am I getting eggnog right now?
Nowhere.
Right. Remember, crabs used to be this way in the winter, but we fixed that. Or it's
Yes.
like getting a snowball in December. Not happening. Although you could. I would say this for me, peach cake starts now, like a week ago, 4th of July-ish. I thought it kind of went away in August, but now I've been told it won't go away till early September. I wrote to the man who runs the Woodley Bakery and the Fenwick Bakery, and Mr. Simon passed away up at Cockeysville. These are the three bakeries that still do it better than anybody here. And if there are other ones, if I'm missing them, here I am. NessetBaltimorePositive.com. As Peter Angelos once said, I'm a very available individual. Let me know if there's peach cake that I have not sought. I'll do a freaking peach cake tour next July and August. I mean, I will. No problem. So I went online and I wrote, and I believe his name is Al, but his real name's Michael. I think it's Al though. I've only met him once, and it was last week at Fenwick Bakery. I woke up at like 6:20 in the morning on the morning that it happened last week. They open at 7 o'clock. I drove over at, 6:45. I parked the car at 6:51. I thought there would be a line. There wasn't, but I've been there when, my God, I've been there when there have been 40 people up or down Harford Road, however you want to, I guess, up Harford Road at that point. Or no, actually, we'd be down Harford Road. So I walked in at 6:58 and they were open. I got the first piece of peach cake on the first day of peach cake season. He didn't even have the sign up. I met him. I met the bakers that are there in the morning. I told him how much I appreciated them and how important it was that like they're in business. I took a picture. They didn't know who I was. They were not like listeners or fans or whatever. But I did beg him to make a little extra peach cake on August 3rd and bring it over to Costas for us so that he can come on the air and talk about peach cake and that I can have some peach cake available so that if some straggler like you that never comes to Dundalk, that doesn't know your way to Drug City or to Costas on the 3rd or 4th of August, could have a bonus. Now, I mean, you go to Drug City or Costas, you're already, I don't need to bring anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm being honest with you. You love whiskey, Drug City. You love beer and crabs or crab cakes, crab soup, cream spinach, oysters, Rockefeller, pit beef, whatever you want. Ribs, Costas can take care of it. You want a milkshake? You want a big boy milkshake? They'll make that for you at the fountain at Drug City. Drug City, their motto is, if we don't have it, you don't need it. So I have two places here within a mile of each other. You could walk past a war memorial down Old North Point Boulevard, and you could get the Costas, but without peach cake and peach cake season, without Silver Queen corn, without crab cakes, without proper ripe garden grown tomatoes with proper salt, without things I don't even eat like potato salad and macaroni salad. I don't like any of that, but you have to have it. I went through this with Cole last week. Deviled eggs, got to have those. They taste like garbage. I'm not eating them, but you got to have them. So this is what my 25th anniversary is going to be. Are you in? What do you think?
I'm in.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate
Let's
it. I love you.
go.
That's why you're my
Let's
chief
go.
digital officer. Mike, for you with the summer and the Orioles and stuff, like the All-Star game, Adley Rutschman, dad pitching to him, this has been as good a sports year. And I mean, Lamar might not play six games. The Ravens might stink. I don't know. But this feeling of like you and your kids in baseball and summer. I'm watching the Home Run Derby Monday, and I hate the Home Run Derby because Adley Rutschman's in it.
Yeah, I mean, look, just yesterday I said to my son, I said that win yesterday felt like the biggest win of the year for me. You know, losing three in a row and having the Yankees be one game behind us, you know, would have been atrocious. We're not playing well. But then, you know, this Colton Cowser, who I'm starting to understand is just a character in a good way, you know, just an interesting dude. And
Well, the
look.
Masson cameras loved his family too.
Yeah, and looking at the lineup and looking at Henderson and you know and Rutschman and Cowser and Westberg, it's just really exciting. And even as the Orioles were kind of sliding these last 2 to 3 weeks, you know, just playing just under 500 baseball or maybe at 500 baseball, we take for granted. I mean, we used to play 300 baseball, so and just saying that the future is bright, and I'm using air quotes because this is going to take us back to another conversation. I just would like to see them extend a player. I'd like to see the commitment to keeping what we have.
Dude, you know what? It's real early on that. Like I hear you and you're being fanboy now. And if I were Nasty Nestor on the air taking this phone call, I'd say, pump the brakes. Like I'm not, you're not in any risk of losing any of these guys right this minute. Now, I mean, Elias, Look, I've met him one time and he actually emailed me and said thank you and was kind to me. Like, literally, out of the blue, I got an email from him. Like, so I have no axe to grind with him. Maybe one day we'll have a beer together and laugh about it all when the new ownership takes over and we get the long-term lease that you and I have spent the last couple segments talking about
For
at
sure.
length in an important way. I don't know anything about him. I would say this, that I know personally, I know this for a fact, and it's never been reported. Maybe it's never been reported, but Eric DaCosta helped him get the job. You know what I mean? Eric knew Mike, Eric knew Sig, Eric was part of that with analytics. Eric and I used to be friends,
Right.
that I knew all of this stuff. So when John Angelos was looking to hire the Mike Elias thing, you know, like Elias is really smart. And like when I see the Jeff Passan of the world, people that write about baseball talk about the system and seeing what's here, a lot of these guys would have to fall on their face or take on Tommy John surgeries. And I watch John Means. By the way, I don't like that seed spitting thing. Dude, if a guy's going to do an inning in the dugout, cut the shit. That's what I would say. That would be me if I were John Angelos. That would be me if I were the executive producer. That would be me if I were the general manager of the team. That would be me if I were Greg Bader. That would be me if I were the manager in the middle of a game saying, sit on the bench and let him do the interview. We're done with that. We're a professional outfit here. Like games, that's all that stop. It's the one time the fans get to interact with John Means. Stop. It's not
I don't
pie
know what you're
face time.
talking. What are you talking about? I'm
No,
not
in
sure
the
what you're talking.
Masson, he did the Masson thing the other night. Means has a thing with a bunch of the pitchers where they spit seeds at each other when they're doing the interviews in the third inning. I want the interview to be good. I'm still at the, that's the radio producer me saying, don't screw with my guest in the middle of an interview.
Right.
That's basic broadcasting. And
Right.
that would, like, you want to have a little fun at the end, fine, but like not for a whole inning in the middle of a game when Couser's at bat and Jim Palmer, Hall of Famer, is trying to get interesting things out of John Means. Stop it. Stop it. So
I
that
hear
would
you.
be my thing because I do want to get to know these guys. John Means seems like they all seem like good guys. Now, that all being said, I'm boxed out and they let my employee in and my employee's on vacation this week and I can't get a press pass. I mean, I would have been up at Yankee Stadium this week, right? Like if things were normal, if they were a normal franchise, Luke's on vacation, I'm not allowed to cover the game. When Luke went away last week, we didn't have anybody at the game because they won't let me in. That's how effed up they are. So I need to bring that up to you and Mike Elias and anybody else, right? But I would say they're very likable, right? And a lot would have to really go wrong here. And I'm not one of those fanboys that needs to have the team pat on the back on All-Star game night, or that I need my player to play like Mike Mussina and Cito Gaston, or I need Rutschman to win the home run derby. I don't need any of that, you know? But what I need from the franchise is an all-in, right?
Right.
Whether it's not intimidating and locking out local media members, whether it's what are we doing with fans to get them there on Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights, which have been a problem. Fans love Hawaiian shirts. They like Shaq. Team didn't play well in front of the big crowds. Those hideous Baltimore jerseys. Like you and I could sit and talk about all of that, but the future is bright. And this is the big chance. This is their big opportunity. But I don't know that given Rutschman $80 million to hang out 2 extra years right this minute is something he wants or needs, or they should be focused on in the middle of the pennant race. I mean, they need to get it. They need to get a lease. That, like, I'll keep going back to that. They need to get a lease and get a future. They need a blueprint for what they're supposed to be, other than a friggin' ATM whenever they start winning. That
Right.
they need to be something more than that.
I hear you. Hey, I'm going to piggyback on the Elias. I've been to four games this year, always buy tickets, kind of behind home plate. And every year, Elias comes down and sits in a couple empty seats that happen to be there. Amongst, it's not like he has his own seats, amongst the fans, you know, instead of just hiding in the press box or things like that. Just seems to be an impressive guy, a guy that I'm like proud is, you know, running the team. You know, you feel good
He
with.
should be a guy that in his soul feels like it's wrong that a guy named Aparicio has been thrown out of the organization for complaining about it sucking. And it did suck. It still sucks.
Do you
I
think he
mean, it's
knows?
still not great. I mean, how can it not suck when their games aren't even on? I can't find their games. How can, you know, like it still kind of sucks. I mean, they're really, you know where it doesn't suck, Mike? I went through this with Dennis last week. Go look at Cincinnati's crowds. They've turned the spigot on there, right? For the first time in a long time, they have this kid who's exciting and pissing everybody off and having managers, you know, upset at his showmanship. In Cincinnati, he's Lamar Jackson, right? Like, he's a savior. And they've got a football team that's like really brought out the sports fans there. Everybody I talk to in Cincinnati tells me I wouldn't recognize the city. Now, of course, I was denied a press credential because Chad Steele wrote to the Bengals and told them not to let me in for the playoff game. But apparently the white jerseys and the Joe Burrow factor is something that I saw a little bit with Marvin. I saw a little bit with Carson Palmer back in the day when I was there. But the baseball team has always been the night I did my baseball tour in 15. I went with Marty McGee, who worked for the Daily Racing Form in Lexington. He came up, had ice cream, had a great night. It was, we swabbed hundreds of people. I mean, really, really motivated bone marrow donors that night. I mean, it was, we had a line. It was unbelievable. And the Reds were. The gal from the Reds who was with us that night is a LinkedIn friend, and so Lindsay, somebody that's still in my life. The Reds were impressive, man, and they suck. They just sucked. I mean, they don't have any money. They're where they are. You know, they've had Votto. You know what I mean? Like but they've sucked. And on that particular night, they gave a bobblehead away. My God, dude, there were 8,000 people waiting to get a bobblehead on that night that I was there. And they're a vibrant part of downtown, even when they suck. Unlike the Pirates, where people don't go, people went to Reds games and they took the giveaways and like all of that. But man, the Reds are this sleeping thing and they're winning, and instantly everybody comes back because they don't hate the owner. They don't hate the team. They think Pete Rose got screwed. Their team hasn't been any good. They've been waiting for it, but they don't have that pent up angst that people like me have been projecting on the radio for 25 years because the owner's been a creep and his kids are clearly creeps.
Tell us what you really think.
Well,
No.
but why aren't people going back in? The Orioles have all of this and you and I are in. Why isn't it all? Why aren't we all back yet? And when will we all be back yet? Or will there, or we just lowered the bar? We lost DC. Are we just going to tarp the upper deck out in left field, the free the bird seats, as I call them, because that's where we sat? Are we just going to tarp that or turn it into a bar? Are we waiting on Wes Moore to give him $600 million to make it a bar? I don't know, but when are we going to fill the place on the Mondays and Tuesdays? And when? I hope it's August. I really do. I mean, I'm here for it, but that they have so much more they could do and should do. And to your point, on the field, man, Elias, the next couple of weeks, he needs to shine, right? He needs to make a deal or two. They need more pitching. They do.
Absolutely need more pitching. Look, I think if I see a tarp up there, I'm instantly going to Oakland A's, Aysville. But
Do
I
you
know,
prefer empty seats?
no, I don't.
Don't you make those seats a dollar and put people in them?
there's definitely stuff you could do. I keep referencing my sons because we talk about baseball every day because the Orioles are so much fun and talk and worthy of talking about. But my youngest son absolutely brought up the Reds 2 weeks ago. He said they bring up this kid, like we brought Adley up, and he said, and everyone's at the stadium. It's like sold out to just watch this kid. And we're looking at our stadium and it's just not full. And the only thing I can think of is A, the fact that the ownership here has turned off the fans, or B, the sense of not being safe to go into the stadium. I go to the stadium all the time. I've never felt unsafe. Maybe it's because I'm a guy. Maybe it's because I'm 6 foot and I'm not, I'm not worried or paranoid that someone's coming after me because I don't think I'd be a target. But I don't ever have the sense. I know there's stuff, bad stuff going on in our city, but I've never felt it at the stadium, walking from the where I park to the stadium, walking from the stadium back to where I park. So I don't really know. I mean, I think it's a combination of those things, but I don't know if there's a negative vibe about how safe it is in the in the stadium in Cincinnati. I don't know if there's that concerned. I just really wish I knew the answer to that. I really wish people would go back, not for the owners, but for the community, and just go back and support these young players and get excited and enjoy the vibe. But we'll see.
Well, I would just say Mike Rosenfeld's our guest. He's our chief digital officer. We like to have fun together. You can find him out at the front of BaltimorePositive.com. And obviously, he's going to give you the elevator speech if you have a business of any kind and need web implementation or thoughts on web or leadership on the web or strategy on the web, or you want to kick the ass of your competition. Mike's your guy for that. I talked to Dennis a little bit about this week because I haven't done a lot of radio through the 4th of July. They went up to New York on Monday night and he put the game on. And it was like all of this energy because, like, it's been such a weird week, right? We can go through this. We've all experienced what the 3rd of July and 4th of July and 5th of July and 6th of July feel like. And last weekend was my Heritage Fair and it got wiped out with rain. And the Orioles are playing at 1 o'clock in the morning and like all sorts of weird things. But they went to New York on Monday and Tuesday and they wet themselves, right? Like, they're not playing great ball, but they get up there. And the thing about Yankee Stadium that night is it was really full and raucous and fireworksy and holiday, and it felt like a Saturday night. It was packed, and I'm thinking that's just something that Colton Cowser's never seen, and even Adley Rutschman hasn't seen it a lot. And like a lot of these young players, like walking into this hellhole, and Aaron Hicks knows a little bit about it, right? And you heard it when he came to bat. And I don't want to say they didn't play well or whatever. And I mean, Gunnar Henderson's running the bases like a little leaguer and just stupid things, giving extra outs, just things that bad baseball. They played bad baseball for a week. They played bad baseball and still won on Wednesday night. But I would say that crowd at Yankee Stadium really got me thinking to like, are they ever going to have that in Baltimore other than when they give a t-shirt away or bring Shaquille O'Neal in? Like, I don't, and that's not to say that that's a bad thing because they had that on Friday and Saturday and didn't play well. They didn't hit the ball. And so I'm looking at it and saying, are these kids just not playing well because 50,000 people are showing up and it's just a little large for the first time and pressing for the first time? It's hot as hell. It's the middle of the season. Guys are got to be getting a little tired, right? Like all of that. The All-Star break's coming. You're playing well, and then all of a sudden you stub your toe. But it really was something about seeing the bright lights of like, oh, Yankee Stadium, a lot of people. And then Wednesday night, there weren't a whole lot of people at Yankee Stadium, right? Like for the third, after the holiday was over, I guess everybody got their mojo and went. It was more semi-empty. But I've watched a lot of Orioles baseball this year, and it's been quiet in Baltimore for the most part. For the most part, people yell at me, oh, 40,000 people. Yeah, they gave away hats. They've been getting 40,000 people for the hats in the years when they lose 120 games. They have. So they build. They're good enough to sell to give away free stuff. We figured out bobbleheads, gold statues. Oriole fans love free-ish. They do. So they'll
Right.
sell tickets on those nights. But there's a point where the crowds, and that's what makes it awesome. What makes it awesome is when there's a lot, who makes the magic happen, Mike Rosenfeld? You make the magic happen of Oriole baseball. And
Definitely.
so I would say that that crowd thing is an indicative part and is and a an important part and a really important part of showing John just how much we love them. Oh, so he'll keep the team here. And that way Wes will give him a favorable transaction in doing that. And I look at all of this and just say, what's the plan? I'm not gonna harp. You and I've harped on it for 2 hours. What's the plan? And I know the plan right now is Mike Elias is gonna make the team better in the next 40, 50, 60 days. He's gonna have to if they're gonna sincerely make a run in October. They need more pitching.
I agree. Just a couple things. I don't know if it's the Orioles, the bright lights and the crowd noise, because unfortunately, for the first time, they lost two series in a row at home, not playing great baseball there before they went to New York. I'm curious to your opinion. Do you think that the stands would have been as raucous in New York and crowded if they weren't chasing the Orioles? If it was the Orioles of 2 years ago
I don't
or
think
3 years
people can.
ago,
I don't. I maybe I'm wrong, but
I mean, it's a
I don't.
division game against a team that they're pursuing. You don't think that had anything to do with the crowd?
I
You think
think
it would have been the
Yankees fans
same?
have noticed that they're losing and that they're coming from the bottom up, which is, you show me how many times in the 25 years we've had WNST that the Yankees have been playing from the ground up, looking up. Maybe they've looked up at Tampa for, you know, at various points, but it's usually looking sideways at the Red Sox and Tampa, not up, certainly not at the Orioles.
Right. And being in third place, not in second. It's tough. Every team goes through. Look, the Rays have lost four in a row. I mean, teams have these spurts. I just hope the Orioles snap out of it, because I want September baseball to be meaningful. Whether we make the playoffs or not, I don't, it used to be by this time we were out of it. It was over. There was nothing to look forward to. It's like being a Detroit Lions fan of the last decade, not including last year, where your season was over after week four. You knew it was just not going to happen. That sucks. So it's
Maybe
nice.
I should bring a Free the Birds reunion together and call it See the Birds and see if Matt Dreyer will sell me those tickets up in section 386 and 388 that I always sat in and pimped out.
You don't think you can just buy them if you wanted to? You can't go
They're
to
not
the.
for sale. They don't sell those tickets.
Oh, I didn't know if you if people forward
Well, I mean,
them.
listen, and again, if they weren't creeps, and their owner didn't run from me and they wanted to come on Baltimore Positive and have me ask them like legitimate questions. It's very clear, and Marty Conway's great at this when he comes on. It's very, very clear that they still, like any sports franchise, like the Bowie Bay Sox, build around Friday and Saturday nights and Sundays. They build Sundays around Kids Run the Bases with Wise Markets sponsoring it. They build Friday nights around fireworks and Eddie Money concerts in the old days. They're still doing that around Shaquille O'Neal, right? And country music and John's Cowboy Boots in Nashville and whatever else. They can still build a Saturday night around a tankard night, a pub night, a hat night, a shirt night, a Jim Palmer bobblehead, a Boog's barbecue, whatever they want to do, an Adley Rutschman superhero, Marvel Comics, Star Wars, May the Fourth be with you. Like they Christmas in July. I'm not making that up. I did it. It was snowing out there in the garden. The Padres were in town. I have no idea why that happened, but they've tried to sell tickets. And right now it's the $10 bleacher seats, right? It's the squirt Mr. Spongy guy out in the outfield for the sprinklers. And like, so that's good, but they got to keep doing more. And to your point, the city needs to do more. Brandon Scott needs to do more. We can't have 30 people getting shot in the middle of the night, 4 miles away from there, because it does sort of rub off. So we have issues in the city, but how the team's playing on the field isn't one of them, even though it has been for a week. Like, they're worthy of coming out to see them play. And if they're worthy of the city in the future, and hey, Bill Cole and I had a real deep dig 2 weeks ago on, what are we giving them and how much and what's it worth and what's the plan and who's making the plan? And you and I have been around the corner on that a little bit. This is a great time for them to find some leadership. That's
Yeah.
all.
Let's hope by the next time we speak, it's going to be real close to the trade deadline, that we get some positive transactions and some clarity on the lease. Because I
Well, we have
know.
baseball on the breath, right? You and I are talking about it actively. Dennis Colazzo's bragged for 15 years here that he hadn't been to a ball game. He's now bragging about the six he went to, even though they're 1-5 when he's there. So go visit him over Coons Ford, tell him. But everybody, I mean, if you put WNST on, you're either hearing about crabs, crab cakes, or fun, or this or that, or whatever, Tommy Conwell, but you're hearing baseball here. I mean, like, really, like, we're talking baseball here because people are talking about it. Now, what
Yeah,
does it mean? How do we
but
grow it? What does it mean to the next Inner Harbor? What does it mean
Dennis
to the
is.
neighbor? What does it mean to public safety? Because these are the questions we should be asking of a guy who's asking for $600 million when we can't solve any of the problems I just gave you.
Yeah, Dennis has been to six games. He bragged that he hadn't been to one. I've been to four. Maybe the previous years I'd been to one a year. But there aren't enough Dennises and Mikes to fill up the stadium that are willing to go back. So, hey, a challenge to your listeners: go to a ball game, check it out, feel you make your own decisions about how safe it is. I choose not to watch the local news because it's so negative. But that if there was an incident of something happening to a family at Camden Yards, you'd not only hear it on local news but national news. It's not happening, so don't panic and live your life and enjoy your life and be part of the fun rather than just avoiding it and being scared. Life's too short. That's just my opinion. Who am I to give advice to people who didn't ask for it, though?
Are you going to Tommy Conwell?
Am I going? I'm going. I'm looking forward to it. We talked about it. I'm embarrassed to say that, it was the Rumble album that I was reared on. And when you and I had a conversation about all the other music, I motivated myself and downloaded the other studio album, which is Guitar Trouble.
I
And I
had I'm
listened.
17 on it. It had Gonna
Yeah.
Break Down. It had some great songs on it.
Hell yeah. So I listened to that. And so now I think I'm pretty well positioned for the show.
I got to get you that Walking on the Water EP, brother. I mean, I got to get you that stuff. I got to get you Million Pretty Girls and Here I Come and Do You Still Believe in Me? These are quintet. Tommy's gonna play these that night in Dewey. I know that because I had a talk with him.
Okay, well, look, we still have to figure out how to get stuff from your CDs into anything I can play music in.
It's a good thing I didn't offer you an 8-track, dude.
But yeah, if anything, I'd love to hear it. So I'm going with friends, and two of them have never heard of him, much less know his music.
Whaley drops his pants playing, workout at the end of the show. Oh, did they see that?
So I invited them over. They're coming over Friday, making some pizzas outside, and it's a Tommy Conwell night. Well, I'm pretty strategic. I don't want them leaving early, so I want them to come get a little taste. My wife, through osmosis, knows probably half the songs he's going to play, so that'll be good. So I'm just looking
Is your
for
wife's going to this one too?
oh yeah,
Oh, nice. All right. All right.
I'm looking for a mindless, fun, good dinner, good vibe, good drink, good outdoor experience.
I
So
hope
I'm
it doesn't
hoping that.
rain, right? I hope it's not awful that night. So.
But I'm trying. I was at there earlier, and I know it's not outdoors officially. Is it outdoors?
I
Is
think
there a
I
cover, I
haven't been
think?
to the Bottle and Cork since I saw maybe the Bodines there a number of years. I mean, I'm trying to think of the last time I was at the Bottle and Cork for a show.
I think we're okay. I think we'd be okay. But let's hope for dry weather. That just makes for a better day.
1,100 people can fit in there. So go see Tommy Conwell. Mike Rosenfeld is our guy. He's our chief digital officer. That's a fancy title. Mike, boil that down for what that is. Tell the people what web connection does.
Sure. Large businesses, large companies are fortunate enough to hire a full-time chief digital officer. They're responsible for overseeing all digital strategies from websites to their apps, social media presence, email marketing, content marketing, pretty much everything that touches the digital space. And small to mid-sized businesses are left to fend for themselves, maybe lop this on to a marketing person, even a VP of marketing who has no idea of the ever-changing landscape. So what my company does is we work with small to mid-sized companies to bring that same level of executive level leadership to the digital space so they can compete. And we've done it in a way that is affordable to small and middle-sized businesses. It's a fractional model so that even individual companies of one can afford to work with us. So we love what we do. We love helping people. It's very creative. And those people who are competitive and don't like to see their competitors kicking their ass, those are the good fit for us.
Well, I'm looking forward to spending a night with Tommy Conwell and with Mike Rosenfeld and his wife and his buddies in Dewey Beach. That's 23rd. Tommy came on the program. You could check that out at Baltimore Positive as well. And listen, you don't need to commit to anything because it's still a couple of weeks away. But there's August 3rd at Costas. That's a Thursday. August 4th, which is not our anniversary, but it's the 3rd. We're going to be hung over and doing it on the 4th. That I'm spending 2 days down in Dundalk doing the Crab Cake Tour, but really doing our 25th anniversary. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation. I'll be giving away Maryland Lottery scratch-offs both days to everybody that comes by. I got to get Roz to get like a little bit more of a supply. I think we're going to get newer tickets. I love these. These have been a very, very lucky batch. Had some winners over at Spirits West a couple of weeks ago, as well as at Fadley's down in Lexington Market. When I have Bill Cole and Marty Gary come by talking about fish and rockfish and catfish and snakeheads and all that kind of stuff. So the 3rd or the 4th, Mike, I'm going to be there most of the afternoon, both days. We're trying to figure it out. The Smithereens are playing in Hershey on the 4th, so I might go to Drug City. I may move it to like more of a morning midday. So, but I have Johnny O coming by at 3:30. So I have things. Thanks, it's a shell game here, but the 25th anniversary is August 3rd. It's when we went on the air. It's legitimate 25 years to the day. I'll be sharing all the nasty things that WBAL people said about me when I went into business and that takedown piece that Rock Kabaka wrote about me in the Sun. You know, basically questioning as to whether we could ever exist or be solvent in any capacity in 1998. That I say, yeah, 25 years, I'm still here. So here, have at it. All right.
Good for you. It's in my calendar. I'm officially in.
All right. Either day's fine. And then December 8th for you and all the sponsors. But that's not, you know, that's just a free plug that people should go see Dan Roderick's thing. You don't have to see it on the 8th. He's doing like five of them. But it was the best Baltimore show I've ever seen. I told Dan that. I told him at Fadley's. And, you know, he got choked up, but it doesn't matter. It was that frigging good. And every Baltimore person like you, like Leonard Raskin, like Dennis, like Damie, like Bill Cole, like all of our sponsors around here, need to be a part of, including George over at Drug City. And I told Nick and Pete, I'm like, I know it's a Friday night at Christmas time. Man the booths for a couple hours and come over and see this Baltimore play. And we're going to make a night of it. We're going to have crab cakes. We're going to have beer. It's going to be nice. So okay. Sort of my official holiday soiree, you know. Anyway, who else thinks about Christmas in July except me and the Orioles throwing events, right?
Yep, you got to do what you got to do. You got to plan ahead. You got to be responsible.
Christmas in July used to be the All-Star game though, right? Back in the 70s we were kids, 80s, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to start this. It's another segment, but we'll talk about the time that has passed since we last had an All-Star game, but that's
30 years this week since I ran into Geddy Lee, since John Crux, since Randy Johnson, since Free Willy, like Messina, Cito Sucks, all of that.
Yep. It's a shame.
I'll tell you my Cito Sucks story. And the Mike Messina dining, we dined together in Toronto when he had to go pitch in Toronto. I'll tell that story the next time if you ask nicely.
I will. I'm going to make a mental note.
Mike Rosenfeld, he is our chief digital officer. You know, as a chief digital officer, I don't think you make mental notes. You got to make a real note. You got to make a real note on that. You can find him at a web connection. You can find him out on the Twitter and the social medias and all that stuff. You on Threads yet?
No, I just heard the Thread.
Today's my day.
Did they launch it yet?
As my chief digital officer, should I be on it?
I think it's just an announcement. I don't know that it's live yet.
I'm in.
Okay.
Count me in.
Yeah.
That jagoff that owns Twitter that threw me off back in November because I wrote something about Lamar Jackson. I wonder who was behind that. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive, but not on Twitter if you're Nestor Aparicio.